here's a story from The World.
China has been signing up countries around the globe to join its Belt and Road Initiative. We've been talking about this massive project for the past few Mondays on The World. It's a trillion-dollar global vision expanding China's trade and influence through infrastructure projects, banking deals, and business partnerships from Asia to Africa to the Americas. The United States has not joined Belt and Road. In fact, the U.S. is warning other nations about the dangers of partnering up with China.
I urge my Italian friends to see how China uses its economic power to cultivate political influence and erode sovereignty.
That was U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking in Rome last October. Only 6 months before that, China's president was in Rome for an official ceremony.
Banda dell'esercito italiano, reparto d'onore, pronti per la rassegna.
Chinese television broadcast the event live. It showed President Xi Jinping walking down a red carpet with Italian President Sergio Mattarella. There were soldiers on white horses, flags waving, lots of pomp and ceremony. And then the two presidents signed a memorandum of understanding, making Italy the first G7 country to join China's Belt and Road. Journalist Laura Daverio has reported on the Italy-China deal for the new podcast series on China's New Silk Road from the Global Reporting Center. We've been listening to excerpts from the series on The World. Laura, you went to Italy just as it was joining Belt and Road. You also lived in China for 2 decades. So what do you think China got out of signing this memorandum of understanding with Italy?
It was quite an unbalanced deal. China wanted an endorsement of the Belt and Road, which is a policy very much wanted by President Xi Jinping. Now, by the time Italy signed up, several other countries had already. But this was the first G7 country to do so. So it was important for China. This was China's purpose, and this is what China got out of it.
Italy was already trading with China. I mean, trade between Italy and China goes back centuries. You've got to think about Marco Polo, right? What did Italy's government hope to gain with this formal partnership with China?
Well, Italy was hoping to have more trade for Italian goods because the trade imbalance is huge. But honestly, it didn't happen in any significant way. And to tell the truth, the players who got something out of it were players who were already dealing with China. They would have dealt with China in any way and somehow managed to capitalize on this moment.
So you're saying Italy didn't go far enough to capitalize on the deal with China?
No, it didn't. I mean, this deal had been in the work for quite some time. It wasn't well thought through. And even if created an open door with China, somehow, you know, it wasn't a very strong moment for foreign policy, which is what would have brought Italy more as a system forward with China. So again, it was very much about individual players.
Well, a good example to look at are Italy's port cities. They were to be big beneficiaries of Belt and Road. Tell us about the Italian port city of Trieste and what China pledges to do there.
Well, so Trieste has been dealing with China for a long time before this memorandum of understanding. So they're interested to have more presence with Chinese routes coming to Trieste. They're also interested to have more investments in the industrial areas. They're hoping to get some more goods that can have some added value manufacturing nearby the port to create more jobs around this. And it's working towards this. Mm. Now, Trieste was not an unimportant port. It's the most important port for oil in the whole Mediterranean. But it was not on a global map the way it is now. And this is also how you capitalize on opportunities.
So that's interesting. The formal Belt and Road Agreement between China and Italy, that happened almost a year before COVID-19 hit Italy. And as we know, it hit Italy in a serious way. More than 35,000 Italians died during the height of COVID this spring. How did COVID affect relations with China?
Italy was the first country in Europe to be hit, and it was badly hit. So naturally, the first thing that Italy does when it's hit with this sudden and scary health crisis is looking at the European Union. And the European Union is unprepared to support its members during the very first phase of the health crisis. And at the same time, you have China sending masks. Hmm. China is the very first one to help. When you have a health crisis, people are scared. And so you look for help where you get it. So you have this you know, this double feeling about China, while the European Union is not really coming through. And that changes. After an initial phase of panic, it's Italy, it's Spain, it's France, it's very badly Great Britain as well. Somehow, the European Union managed to get its members together. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but it does come out with a plan. And it's a very serious relief plan. And so right now, we are in a very different position, more oriented towards the European Union, which doesn't mean that things, you know, might not change. China is always going to be a player.
Laura, we began our conversation with those comments from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo warning Italy not to do business with China. How do Italians take that criticism from the U.S.? Stay out of that China game.
So we talked both to Trieste Port Authority and Venice Port Authority, and somehow their answer was very similar. And we can hear the president of Port Authority Venice specifically talking about this conflict. His name is Pino Musolino.
U.S. have understood a little bit too little and a little bit too late, with all the due respect, what was going on with the Belt and Road. And still they haven't understood properly what's going on and what's happening. I have had recently very good talks with high-ranking officials from U.S. And in a friendly but provocative manner, I asked, where are you guys? What are you proposing as an alternative? Because countries are naturally oriented into trying to grow and develop a strong economy. And, of course, the United States is the number one economy of the planet, but China is the second one, and it's growing fast.
The U.S. is number one, but China's growing fast. Laura, you grew up in Italy. You care about its future. What's your take on the wisdom of Italy pivoting to China now?
There is one thing that comes out over and over again in our reporting. You deal with China. You know, if you're a port, how do you not deal with China? China moves the biggest trade volume in the world. So why would you stay out of it? China is very powerful. So it makes no sense to just say China is bad, don't deal with China. It's the second most powerful economy in the world. China is an influential country. It's here to stay.
Journalist Laura Daverio, thank you very much for your time and for speaking with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Laura Daverio and Mary Kay Magstad reported on Italy's role in the Belt and Road Initiative for the podcast On China's New Silk Road. It's from the Global Reporting Center. Listen to the full episode wherever you get your podcasts.